There was this kindergarten teacher, just dreaded rainy days. And the reason is because she had to deal with about 20 pairs of galoshes, you know, those rubber rain boots. And it wasn't just once, because it was arriving at school and then going out to recess, and then they all had to be put back on before going back home, and it seems that all of them needed some help. Well, it was one of these days, and she finally gave the last tug on the last boot, and little Johnny said, "Those aren't mine." Oh, she just about lost it. But she kept her composure. She took a deep breath, counted to 10, and started pulling those rubber boots off of little Johnny. Well, he just sat there and watched as she took them off. And when she had finished, he said, "They're my sister's, but Mom says I have to wear them today." This morning, I'm going to be preaching on patience. Well, last week, I spent some time talking about love, and according to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, among other things, love is patient. Now, that's actually the first characteristic that's mentioned, 1 Corinthians 13:4. So what are we talking about? Well, the Oxford Dictionary, it defines patience as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. As it's been said, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Now, looking at the New Testament, there are two different words in the Greek that are translated as patience. Now, one of them is dealing with difficult people, which is found 25 times in its various forms, and the other is dealing with difficult situations, which is found 49 times in its various forms. And it's always possible that I miss some. Well, Christians are obviously to exhibit both of them, aren't we? Are you a patient person? Maybe we ought to ask your spouse or your children about you. Patience is something I think we all need to work on. I mean, this sermon is just as much for me. I mean, most of us, we're not born with it. You know, when a baby wakes up in the middle of the night and it's hungry or it's uncomfortable, what does it think? "Oh, well, you know, my parents, they're tired from all that they've done today, most of it for me, and so, well, I'll just wait for a more convenient time to let them know that I'm hungry or that I need my diaper changed," right? So we're not born with it. And it doesn't help that we grow up in this society that's been called a fast food society. Oh, we like our efficiency. We like speed. We like immediate gratification. And it's like this old Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where his father is sitting at a computer and saying, "It used to be that if a client wanted something done in a week, it was considered a rush job and he'd be lucky to get it. Now with modems, faxes, and car phones, everybody wants everything instantly. Improved technology just increases expectations. These machines don't make life easier. They make life more harassed." Well, about that time, Calvin, he walks by and he's looking at a TV dinner. "6 minutes to microwave this. Who's got that kind of time?" I read about a church in Florida, and they advertise 22-minute worship services. Okay, they promise that in 22 minutes, it'll be all over and you'll be out of there. And the sermons are limited to 8 minutes. Yeah, don't get your hopes up. Patience, it's difficult to develop because it's contrary to our culture. Now, you go to a third world country today, and you'll find that it's very different. It's much more laid back. They probably wonder why we're so uptight, why we're always on this fast track and in this rat race. And so these expectations that come from our culture, well, they often cause our responses to be with frustration, aggravation, and exasperation as we feel the value of each second pressing on us. So this morning, I want to spend some time talking about this very difficult and yet very important quality. So number one, in what areas are we to have patience? Well, first of all, I think we are to have patience with ourselves. See, sometimes I think that we're harder on ourselves than God is. See, some people, they're always beating themselves up. And some people, they get so frustrated that they're not where they want to be in their Christianity that they just give up. So I know of some who have quit going to church because, you know, they said it was too hard. As it's been said, change is a process, not an event. Christianity is the process of changing from looking like the world to looking like Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. A Christian is someone who is not perfect, but has been forgiven and is now striving to become more like Jesus. You see, the Apostle John, he said, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, even the apostles were not sinless. And so we need to have patience. We shouldn't be overly critical of ourselves when we fall short. But, of course, I mean, obviously neither are we to become complacent and stop growing. I mean, some people are not hard enough on themselves. See, the New Testament, it does have these very harsh words for those who are not growing in their Christianity. And so, well, there's a balance. Next, we are to have patience with our fellow Christians. The New Testament word that's speaking of patience with respect to others, it literally means long temper. And sometimes you find it translated as long suffering. You see, you suffer long before you react. Simply put, it's having tolerance, it's putting up with people. You see, the problem with the church is that it's made up of people. We can and do rub each other the wrong way. Look, I'm going to irritate you, and you're going to irritate me. I mean, sometimes I'm a pain. Sometimes I'm slow. We need to learn to have long fuses and to be patient with one another. You see, with some people, it's always like walking on eggshells or treading on thin ice around them. That's not the way a Christian is to be. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus. "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." In order for there to be unity, there's got to be a lot of patience and a lot of tolerance. The worldly reaction, you know, that's anger, that's resentment, bitter words, maybe even blows. But those who have this quality of patience, when they're wronged, when they're irritated, well, they got the power to just let them have it, but they don't. Patience, it's not a sign of defeat. It's not a sign of being a pushover, as some people think. It's rather a sign of victory and strength, because it's easy to get upset and to be short with someone. Not anyone can do that. But patience, now that takes a lot of self-control. We're also to have patience with non-Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Now, we definitely need patience when they're bothering us or they're mistreating us. Christians are to treat people better than they deserve. But we also need patience when trying to teach them. You see, the goal for the non-Christian is that they will become a Christian. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." Very few people accept the gospel. And for some, it takes a long time before they finally come around to accepting it. You see, we're often so eager or at least quick to give up on people and just to write them off. But what about God? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." You see, God puts up with the terrible ways that people treat him because they may someday repent. In 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition." Now, this would also apply to new Christians. with gentleness. We need to just be patiently showing them the way. If we're too harsh with them, or we lose our temper with them, or we just give up on them, they could leave and never come back. Now you think of a baby. So you don't treat a baby the same as you do a teenager. And last, we are to have patience with our difficult circumstances. So we all need to ask ourselves, am I easily set off? Am I one of those people who just set off whenever things are difficult, when they don't go my way? Or am I able to be patient and keep a godly disposition in the face of life's irritations? Now, as you know, some people today, they teach the gospel of health and wealth, sometimes called prosperity theology. See, it promises that living for Christ, that's going to turn this world into a bed of roses. It's the idea that if you're a faithful Christian, well, God, he's going to bless you with health, security, and prosperity. But the scriptures, they certainly don't teach that. They teach that this is a cursed earth and bad things are supposed to happen, even to God's people. Every character in the Bible had to go through difficulties. You see, at times, it is going to get pretty rough. The question is, how are we going to respond during those times? Will we respond with patience or with frustration or worse? Paul's list of sins in Galatians 5, which he called the deeds of the flesh, can you guess what's in there? Outbursts of anger, Galatians 5:20. You know, that's exploding with angry actions and words when things don't go our way. Many people, they're ruled by their feelings, and they can't seem to control their anger. As you know, some adults still throw temper tantrums. We got to learn to think and talk through our problems instead of losing control by yelling and slamming doors and punching walls and throwing things and kicking the cat and attacking people and so forth. So we got to discipline ourselves in our responses to the frustrations of life, which we are all going to have. Proverbs 14, verse 29, it says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." Man, it can sure get us in a lot of trouble. As the saying goes, a moment of patience in a moment of anger can save you 100 moments of regret. All right, so number two, how can we develop patience? Well, one way, I think, is by realizing that we are going to go through difficulties and people are going to let us down. And so foreknowledge can help. Look, life isn't fair and no one is perfect. We are all going to let down and be let down from time to time, even by those close to us. And so I think realizing that beforehand, having that knowledge, I think that can help us to deal with it in a more Christ-like way when it does come. You're not taken off guard, you see. So just expect it. Another way is by simply going through difficulties and exercising it. It takes practice. A story goes of a young Christian, and he went to an older Christian and asked for help, and he said, would you please pray for me that I may be more patient? And so, well, they knelt down together, and the old man began to pray. "Lord, send this young man tribulation in the morning. Send this young man tribulation in the afternoon. Send this young man..." Well, at that point, the young Christian, he said, No, I didn't ask you to pray for tribulation. I want you to pray for patience." "Ah," the old Christian, he said, "it is through tribulation that we learn patience. James 1, 2 through 3, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Now, that's one of those two words for patience, and some versions translate it as that. Another way is to look at the example of Jesus, since he's to be our model. Now, one thing we can do is look at how he dealt with interruptions. For example, Mark chapter 5. Okay, He went to the country of the Gerasenes, as you remember, and as soon as he gets out of the boat, well, he's interrupted by this man with all these demons, and he's got to deal with that. But then the people, well, the people there, they told him to leave. And so he's got to get back in the boat And, well, they go across to the other side. And when they do, a great multitude gathers to him. But then there's a man named Jairus, and he wants him to go with him. You know, he asked him to heal his daughter. And so Jesus is going off with him. But on his way, then this lady touches him. You know, the woman with the hemorrhage touched him. And now he's interrupted from his interruptions. And it just keeps on going. But you notice that he is always so patient and so thoughtful of others and their feelings. On top of that, we can look at the great patience that Jesus had with his disciples, who just didn't get it at times. We can look at the patience that he had with those who were caught in sin but wanted out. And we can even look at the patience that he had with those who rejected and crucified him. See, here's the question. Did Jesus ever lose control and hit someone? I mean, could you ever call Jesus enough names to make him attack you? He could have zapped them. I mean, he could have called 72,000 angels, as he said in Matthew 26:53. 1 Peter 2:23, it says of Jesus' suffering, "And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." See, there are so many times when we find that Jesus, he was silent, where all of these false accusations and ridicule were being thrown at him. Well, another way is to remember that this world is not our home. Well, if you would grab your Bible, let's turn over to James chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 7 through 11 together. I want to spend a few minutes looking at this passage. Now, you're going to notice that there are at least three references to the end of time in this short paragraph, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. Now, the reason is because circumstances are going to change for the righteous in that event. And so every Christian is to live in the hope of Christ's return. If we are convinced that this life is short and that our Lord is going to set things right concerning those who mistreat us and everything else, then we got the stimulus to hold out and not react by losing hope or retaliating or something like that. You see, the coming of the Lord, that is motivation for us as Christians to endure whatever comes our way and to be patient until the day of his return. And this morning, Kurt was talking about, you know, all these people preparing for the eclipse, if just half of them would be preparing for the second coming of Christ. All right, let's start with verses 7 and 8. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And so James, he offered the example of a farmer who's got to wait for his harvest. I mean, the farmer doesn't expect his harvest on the day that he plants. He's got to labor for quite a few months before he receives the fruit of his labor. And it may be difficult. He may suffer several disappointments before the harvest comes in. He's fighting with the birds and the bugs and the weeds and the weather and everything else. But, well, he doesn't plow up his field in anger. He doesn't fire all the help. You know, he doesn't just give up simply because these things are getting difficult or they don't exactly go the way that he wants. So he patiently waits for both the early and the late rains to provide what's needed for his crop. He patiently waits for the proper time. And for us, any difficulty that we may be going through, any mistreatment that we may be receiving, we can't let it take us off track. We can't allow suffering to provoke us towards wrath toward other people or giving up on God. And so we need to strengthen our hearts, as James said. Now, that's not talking about doing more cardio at the gym, although I think more Americans probably should be doing that. It means to strengthen our minds to endure whatever trouble comes our way. We need to have a fixed purpose. We need to hold on to that no matter what, like the farmer. See, Christians are to be stout-hearted, not faint-hearted. Well, James, he believed that we could find this kind of strength of heart if we just realize that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, to be at hand suggests that it could come at any moment. Jesus, when he spoke of his return in Matthew 24, I believe that he taught that it could come at any time after the destruction of Jerusalem. And so every generation of Christian needs to be on the alert, needs to be watchful for his return. See, his coming is always at hand. Now, on top of that, we never know when our personal lives will be over. So the farmer needs to patiently wait until God's creation does its work, and the Christian needs to patiently wait until Christ comes. And then we will receive the fruit of our labor. All right, let's continue. Verse 9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Okay, what happens when you've been treated bad? Well, we often want to take it out on someone else, don't we? We want to vent our frustrations. And so given the circumstances of a Christian community that's under pressure, like James's recipients, it's not surprising that he found it necessary to tell them and to warn them against disunity within the church. I mean, sadly, the difficulties of life, they got a way of drawing out impatience by complaining and arguing against those who are closest to us. All right, now be honest. Have you ever had a bad day at work, and then when you got home, you took it out on your family? They didn't deserve that. Why do we do that? Or have you ever taken a long trip with your family in a little teeny car? Well, complaining and fighting can easily result from the difficult circumstances and the length of sitting and waiting. And yet, once you got there, the trip was often worth it. And all of that grumbling and fighting was completely unnecessary. It just made the trip harder than it needed to be. And so if we can see the goal, heaven, and keep that in mind, it can help to prevent grumbling, give us patience. Well, also James, he said that we should realize that to complain against one another, well, that's to risk the Lord's condemnation when he comes. You see, this judge is standing right at the door, which kind of paints the picture of his entrance into this realm. Now, keeping with that picture, what is he going to find when he opens that door? Will he find his children patiently waiting for his return with their eyes glued to the door? Or is he going to find them distracted and unconcerned about his coming and engaged in the pitiful mistreatment of each other? So we might think of a father coming home and entering the house to find his children not doing the chores as he asked them to do, but actually complaining and quarreling among themselves, as if they had forgotten that they actually had a father who was coming home. And so complaining against one another, it certainly indicates a lack of patience. And then James said that we should learn patience from past examples, verses 10 and 11. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. And of course, we can read about those great examples in the Old Testament. It's always encouraging to know that others have successfully gone through what we have to go through. It's easy to lose patience in times of great difficulty and trial. But again, the coming of the Lord, that should be motivation for Christians to patiently endure whatever hardships and heartaches that come our way. And so, foreknowledge, practice, the example of Jesus, and realizing that this world is not our home. Now, I want to go back to love, and obviously, I'm not talking about the ooey-gooey kind. Why didn't Jesus destroy, or at least just write off those people who let him down? Well, I think the greatest reason lies in that little word, love. Jesus was here because of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. And what do we know about love? Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly and does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, interestingly, that list in 1 Corinthians 13 it begins and it ends with patience. Because it begins with that word concerning patience with other people, and it ends with that word concerning patience with our circumstances. Jesus, he was used to people letting him down while he was here on earth. And God, he's always been used to people letting him down. But he's always there to forgive them. And so another thing that we should consider is, have you ever let him down? Well, we are to reciprocate that love and forgiveness and patience to one another and to treat them the way God has treated us. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So let's all go out this week and let's try to imitate the Lord in this quality of patience. We need patience with ourselves. We need patience with our fellow Christians. We need patience with non-Christians. And we need patience in our difficult circumstances. You see, Christians, man, they're to exhibit patience in the home, in the car, at the store, at the restaurant, at the ball game, at the workplace, at the church building, and everywhere in between.